Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
Welcome to Safe Money Masters with Greg Castle. Get ready for a full hour of financial information and economic news you can't afford to miss. Greg works hard each and every day to help hardworking Americans like you navigate challenges and reach the financial freedom they desire and deserve. So now let's start the show. Here's Greg Castle.
Hello and welcome to our Independence Day edition of Safe Money Masters, where our main goal is to help you become masters of your money and teach you how to keep it safe. And we hope you're having a terrific 4th of July and had lots of hot dogs already. And I'll be your host, Greg Castle, and I'll along with our co-host and producer, Matt McClure. Matt, I think we have another great show lined up for our listeners today on 4th of July. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what to expect?
Absolutely will, Greg, and a happy Independence Day to you and to everybody listening to the show today. We have some fun facts about the 4th of July coming up, some very interesting things to share on our list. Then we'll have some words from the Oracle of Omaha for our quote of the week this week, Warren Buffett. We'll talk about his rules of investing as well. Now, the quote of the week actually has something to do with that, but it's that quote is not the comprehensive list of Warren Buffett's rules to live by and invest by. So we'll go through some more in that segment after the quote of the week. We'll have Independence Day travel news as well. We'll give you a little bit of an update and some stats as everybody's been on the roads and been in the sky traveling for the long holiday weekend. Some recession fears continuing and why one in five baby boomers are delaying their retirement. We'll talk about that as well, along with why Americans are doubting their retirement plans. We won't leave you with doom and gloom on that, though. We're going to talk about how you can feel confident in your retirement plan. Three ways retirement planning is like planning your summer vacation. We all know how that can be. So, I wonder if part of that, and don't spoil it for me, Greg, but I wonder if part of that is trying to get everybody to agree on the destination. That could very well be a thing, because I know it is in the history of my planning of summer vacation. And also, speaking of history, this week in history is going to wrap things up for us as well.
All right. So, Matt, today is the 4th of July. So it's the day we celebrate the independence of our nation.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, July 4th has a lot of fun traditions as well. I mean, a lot of us really celebrate the 4th of July with, one of my favorite things, looking at the beautiful fireworks displays, barbecues. I always love to eat. Yeah, exactly. you and me both. A lot of great concerts, parades, things like that this time of year as well. And we celebrate Independence Day on July 4th because that is the day that our founders signed the Declaration of Independence. But that's actually not really technically true, right, Greg?
It really is not. So even though the Declaration was adopted on July 4th, 1776, it was actually July 2nd when the Continental Congress voted in favor of declaring independence from Great Britain. So most people don't know that. Now, however, the actual declaration that was written by Thomas Jefferson wasn't signed by most people until a month later in August. Now, with that said, here are some more fun facts about this very special day that most people really don't know. Had to look these up. Took me a while to find them all. But anyway, Americans typically eat 150 million hot dogs on Independence Day. That's enough to stretch from D.C. to L.A. more than five times. Now, we're going to make it 50 million in one, because I'm going to have 50 million in two. I'm going to have a couple today myself when the show's over. So
that's right. I was going to say, I think about 100 million of those are at my house. But
over the years, I could agree with that. On a sad note, though, three presidents have died on July 4th, and those presidents were Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and James Monroe. Now, John Adams believed that American independence should be celebrated on July 2nd, as that's the actual day that the Continental Congress voted for independence in 1776. He was kind of annoyed that Independence Day wasn't celebrated on July 2nd, and he repeatedly turned down invitations to July 4th celebrations for the rest of his life. So nothing like being stubborn.
That's right. Apparently John Adams was.
Now, even though he didn't die on July 4th, another fun fact is that President Zachary Taylor died in 1850 after eating spoiled fruit at a July 4th celebration.
Ooh, you got to be careful what you eat and on July 4th, apparently.
Yeah, I hate to laugh at that, but that's kind of sad. We all know about, you know, Macy's fireworks display and their parades and stuff, but the famed Macy's fireworks show in New York City uses more than 75,000 fireworks, and it costs about $6 million per show. Now, many of us, me included, are very familiar with the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. Well, that contest is held annually on July 4th, and in 2018, champion Joey Chestnut ate 74 hot dogs with buns in just 10 minutes. That's pretty amazing. It takes me that long to eat one.
It is. When I lived up in New York and I worked for a TV station up there, we would cover that every year, and I never understood how they could do that.
He's not that big a guy. I mean, it's just...
No. And then there was the guy who was like the champion for several years before Joey Chestnut kind of started his run, you know, who was just this teeny tiny little guy. And I'm like, where does it all go? You know?
You know, at some point, what goes in would come out, and it's going to be a sad day around their house. So we digress here.
Yes, they'll be taking a lot of medication.
Yeah, really. Sad thought. Anyway, Independence Day became a federal holiday in 1870. Another fun fact, as of 2016, July 4th was the number one day for beer sales in the U.S. So I just can't imagine that. Beer and hot dogs.
That's right. I mean, nothing American than that, you know?
Yeah, really.
An apple pie.
Apple pie. In 1778, this is another fun fact, to celebrate, George Washington gave his soldiers a double ration of rum to celebrate the July 4th holiday.
There you go.
No wonder he was voted our first president.
That's right. Was he buying votes at that point with the rum? I don't know. Yeah, well, no.
He passed out the ballots while they were still drinking. I don't know what was going on.
But, right.
Every July 4th, descendants of the signers of the Declaration of Independence tap the Liberty Bell 13 times in honor of the original 13 colonies. This is something that may be in my future. You know, eating salmon is a July 4th tradition in parts of New England.
Huh.
I'm a big salmon fan, so you know that may be dinner tonight.
Yeah, I did not know that. And that's one of those things, too. I love salmon as well. But it's not necessarily something that I associate with the 4th of July.
No, either. So I don't know. I mean, that's a new one for me. Now, small towns in the United States typically spend between $8,000 and $15,000 on their fireworks displays. Now, President Calvin Coolidge was the only president who was born on the 4th of July. He was born on July 4th, 1872. About 16,000 July 4th firework displays happen around the country each and every year.
Wow.
Now, starting in 1818, new stars and new stripes were added to the American flag each July 4th to make the creation of new states. And I'll talk more about that later on in another fun fact. Now, as we all know, you've heard the expression before, you know, sign your John Hancock right here. Well, John Hancock has the largest signature on the Declaration of Independence. So,
yes, he does. And I've often wondered why he signed it that large. It's almost like he was the first guy to sign. And then they're like, oh, thanks for leaving room for the rest of us there, John.
Well, actually, what you just said is true. Another one of the fun facts we'll get to in a couple of minutes is that John Hancock was one of the first two people to sign the Declaration of Independence. He actually signed it on July 4th. However, the rest of the signers, you know, signed it periodically, ending up in August 22nd of the same year. But since there was no other signatures on there, a big signature was fine. So
yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know who knew that my wild stab in the dark was gonna be right.
Now the very first July 4th celebration took place at the White House in 1801, and it was hosted by Thomas Jefferson. Now, one World Trade Center, not the ones that blew down, not the ones that were destroyed in the terrorist attack, but one World Trade Center in New York is 1,776 feet tall to mark the year the United States declared its independence from Britain.
Yeah.
It's exactly 1,776 feet.
And I remembered that from when they announced the plans for the reconstruction of the World Trade Center. that that was going to be the height of the tower as that, you know, number of significance. And just a really, you know, a really great symbol of American strength and resilience there as well.
It really was. I mean, to be able to, for the architect to be able to actually, you know, design it to be a specific height, exactly 1,776 feet, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Former President Barack Obama's older daughter was born on the 4th of July. Independence Day was once celebrated with one time at one year was celebrated on July 5th. The reason for that was the holiday fell on Sunday in 1779, so Americans celebrated on Monday, the 5th of July. It's the only year this happened.
Oh, wow.
Now, there are some copies of the Declaration of Independence. I never knew this either. There's some copies of the Declaration of Independence with a woman's signature on it. That woman is Mary Catherine Goddard. She wasn't one of the official signers of 1776, but the printer and publisher added her name to the Declaration of Independence after she was hired by Congress to print copies. So nothing like adding yourself to a little history there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So the 50th star was added to the American flag on July 4th, 1960. And do you know which state that was? Remember which state it was, Matt?
Well, I know that it was Alaska and Hawaii were the last two states to be added. But I believe Alaska was the 49th, so it had to have been Hawaii.
That is correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yay. All right.
Bring out my sound effects.
Yeah, as we mentioned already, you know, despite what you might have thought, only two men signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. Now, we know that one of those is Jan Hancock, and the second one was Charles Thompson. I guess he's overshadowed by the large signature by John Hancock.
Right.
This is interesting, too, and I don't doubt it for a minute. Americans spend over $1 billion a year on fireworks every 4th of July.
Wow.
Growing up, I was part of that $1 billion, I'm sure.
Well, growing up in Georgia, when I was a kid, it was illegal to, you know, have your own fireworks display. It was illegal to sell fireworks in Georgia other than just, you know, like little sparklers and kind of thing. And so everybody would go, you know, that's why along the Georgia-Alabama border, along the Georgia-South Carolina border, especially those two, there are just a bunch of huge fireworks stores. Mm-hmm. It's because everybody used to have to, like Taco Bell used to say, everybody used to have to run for the border.
You know, those folks in Georgia were deprived as children.
That's right. I mean, you know, unless we wanted to be lawbreakers and a little adventurous. And I'm not saying that I'm confessing to ever having done that. It's just the sentence that is coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, I fully understand. You know, you really haven't experienced pain until you have a firework go off, not necessarily in your fingers, but as you're just leaving your fingers and you feel the jolt of it. So,
not fun.
And I've been guilty of that. So I tell you what, it stung for a while. I'm just glad it wasn't a split second earlier that I let go of it, or later that I let go of it, because it would have been really pretty devastating. Now, the 4th of July wasn't an official holiday until almost 100 years after the Declaration of Independence was signed. That was in 1870, whenever they first started the official holiday. There are over 330 million people living in the United States today. However, there were only around 2.5 million people in 1776. So we've grown quite a bit since the birth of our nation.
Yes, we have.
This does not surprise me at all either, but it is interesting. Hospitals receive a surplus of patients on the 4th of July due to firework-related injuries every year. And going back to 2020, in 2020, there were 15,600 people who reported to hospitals with fireworks-related injuries. And I'm sure there were probably half that many more that didn't go to the hospital, that, you know, just wrapped up in Band-Aids or treated it at home.
Oof.
Now, we talked about the 13 descendants of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence who tap the Liberty Bell every year on 4th of July. However, the Liberty Bell hasn't been rung since 1846. And the last time the bell was rung was when George Washington's birthday in February 1846, when a major crack appeared on the bell. So since then, it has not been rung.
Yeah. I wonder what it would sound like if it was rung at this point, you know, and just a thud kind of, I guess, since it's got
the don't ring, know. And then this is interesting, too. One of our last facts here. A time capsule was buried by Paul Revere and Sam Adams on July 4th in 1795 under the Massachusetts State House in Boston. You know, it was discovered more than two centuries later by workers fixing a leak. When state officials opened it, they discovered a few things. They discovered a pine tree shilling coin, a copper medal engraved with an image of George Washington, several newspapers from that period, and a silver plate thought to be engraved by Paul Revere.
That's crazy. And to not, you know, to have that put, you know, in place by a couple of, you know, very significant early Americans, and then to not really have any record of it being there, just to kind of find it there by happenstance.
Yeah.
That's that had to have been just a really cool kind of mind-blowing discovery for them.
That would have been wild. Hey, Matt, before we continue, you know, I'd like to take a moment just to remind our listeners what our show is about when it's not 4th of July. The whole premise of this show is to bring you, our listeners, topics and tools that'll help you grow and protect your wealth and retirement income. I mean, we hope you keep tuning in. You can catch us every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. on Money Talk 1010 and on your local FM stations 92.1 and up north 103.1. So if you happen to miss an episode, by all means, you can catch us at moneymasters.com. Click on the podcast version, and you can listen to the podcast of the show, or you can listen to wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, for that matter. You can also check out our YouTube channel and subscribe to see weekly video highlights and special accounts and see why I have a face that's made for radio and not TV. Now, if you've got any questions or comments, you know, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to email me at greg@safemoneymasters.com. Or you can call us at 813-430-7100.
And now for some financial wisdom. It's time for the quote of the week.
Our quote of the week this time around, Greg, comes from, as promised, the Oracle of Omaha himself, Mr. Warren Buffett, who knows a thing or two about investing, I would say. And Warren Buffett said this, quote, "Rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, never forget rule number one."
I've heard that time and time again. It's just so, so true. You know, as a financial strategist, I love that quote because that's exactly what we try and help our listeners do through safe money strategies, actually. And actually, I worked for a company once that was owned by Buffett's private equity company. And he was quite an amazing guy. He'd come around, and he was matter of fact, you know, if his private equity company actually bought your company, the game plan was they would buy it at what they thought would be a discount. They would put money into those companies to help them grow and prosper and increase their revenue and their EBITDA. And then they'd put it on the market for sale. And the senior partners of the company, the ones that were actually running the company, all had equity stakes in where they'd actually get, you know, buyouts and stuff. And of course, if the company didn't sell, those folks just basically were out of luck. They got their salaries, but they didn't get the bonuses they'd hoped they were going to get. By the way, there is another Buffett quote that I have hanging on my wall. It's a quote that I read. It's basically, "If you don't learn how to make money while you sleep, you'll work until you die." So you can do that by either starting a business, and not a job, but starting a business where the people work for you, and so you can take vacations, money's still coming in while you're gone, or you can always take a look at some of the safe money strategies where you don't have to worry about watching the stock market all the time. You can basically let the money work for you and eventually turn into a guaranteed paycheck for life that comes in over and over and over again. You got our number, try and give us a call. So, you know, some of the rules that Warren Buffett lived by and how to apply them to your own life or retirement plan. You know, rule number one, as we've already talked about, is never lose money. In other words, you need to protect a sensible portion of your assets from bank failures, the stock market volatility, One way to do that is actually use the rule of 100. In other words, you take 100 and you subtract your age to determine the percentage of your assets that you could strategically invest in smart risk strategies. For an example, take 100. If your age is 65, you subtract 65 from that. So that means that 35% of your money can be at risk in smart risk investments. But that still leaves 65% that should be put in safe money strategies to make sure that you don't lose that money. It needs to be much more conservative. So ask yourself, how much of my savings am I willing to lose? Or the way I ask my clients specifically is, how much of what you've got do you not want to lose? Because nobody's really going to lose anything, because they always give me the same answer. I don't want to lose anything. So it is a little bit different. So rule number two, we've already talked about, is never forget rule number one. In other words, be informed, do your homework, trust, but verify, you know, what you're doing is the right thing to do. Buffett invests only in strategies that he thoroughly researches and understands. I can vouch for that from experience. He doesn't go into an investment prepared to lose, and neither should you. So if you're tired of working about your future and you're ready to learn how to create safe money retirement, just simply pick up the phone, give us a call at 813-430-7100, or email me personally at greg@safemoneymasters.com, because we help pre-retirees and current retirees with this issue all the time. So we've talked about rule number one. We've talked about rule number two. What is rule number three, Matt?
Well, rule number three from Warren Buffett, his rules of investing, says, you know, if the business does well, then the stock eventually follows. So it's basically that, like, that fundamental style of investing where it's like, you know, if the fundamentals of the business are in good shape, then if that business continues to do well, then the stock is going to also eventually do well.
You're exactly right. So when Buffett searches for a stock to invest in, his approach is basically to seek out businesses that exhibit favorable long-term prospects. In other words, does the company have a consistent operating history? Does it have a dominant business franchise? Is the business generating high and sustainable profit margins? And if the company's share price is trading below expectations for its future growth, then it's a stock that Buffett may want to own. So, you know, we can help educate you on different smart risk strategies for growing your hard-earned wealth. Just don't be an emotional investor. Don't go it alone. Let us or someone else help you plan your work and work your plan. So a couple more rules that Buffett has too. What's rule number four, Matt?
Yeah, rule number four here, it's far better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fair company at a wonderful price. It's almost like, I like to think of this one as like, if it's in the bargain bin, it's probably there for a reason.
Yeah, probably. You know, when the markets tanked during the 2007 to 2009 financial crisis, back during the housing bubble, Buffett was stockpiling great long-term investments by spending billions in names like General Electric and Goldman Sachs. Savvy investor seeks companies that offer durable products or services and also have solid operating earnings and ongoing potential for future profits. Finding the right investment at the right price with a margin for safety against unknown risk is the ultimate goal that Buffett looks for. And I think there's one more, Matt. What would it be?
Yeah, number five is the very last rule of investing for the ones that we're going to cover today from Mr. Warren Buffett. And it is, our favorite holding period is forever.
Well, in Buffett's case, it's not always forever, but his intent is to keep it as long as possible. how long should you hold a stock or investment? Buffett says that, and things I've read about Buffett, that if you don't feel comfortable owning a stock for 10 years, you shouldn't own it for 10 minutes. So even during times of volatility, you know, Buffett has loyally held on to the bulk of his portfolio because he believes in the long-term viability of his investments. You know, again, do not be an emotional investor. Repeat, do not be an emotional investor. You know, being overly fearful or too greedy can cause investors to sell stocks at the bottom or buy at the peak and destroy portfolio appreciation for the long run. You don't want to do that. It's important to keep in mind why you're investing. What is the reason? Is it primarily it should be to protect and grow your wealth. We want to help preserve and increase the value of assets so that you can thrive in retirement and leave a legacy for your loved ones. So if you want to develop a safe money retirement plan that incorporates Buffett's five core rules, then contact the pros at Castle Financial Solutions Group. Just give us a call at 813-430-7100 or send me an email at greg@safemoneymasters.com. Now, as a bonus, also, if you like what you hear on this show, myself, Castle Financial Solutions, will be hosting a Safe Money Strategies seminar on Thursday, July 20th and Tuesday, July 25th. It's a repeat seminar at Carrollwood Country Club. Starts at 6:30 those nights. So I will be the presenter. We'll have part of our team there as well. So hopefully you get a chance to come out and meet us and learn some strategies that will help you keep your money free from volatility, keep that money safe with significant upside potential. Matt, you mentioned earlier when we talked about the overview for the show that one in five baby boomers are delaying retirement. And here's why. Amid uncertain economic conditions, baby boomers aren't feeling confident in their retirement plans. In fact, you know, according to what I read, 70% of baby boomers expressed uncertainty over whether their retirement savings were healthy enough to carry them through retirement. Retirement Living also found that 69% of baby boomers are worried about potential recession, and that because of this, 22% of baby boomers plan on delaying their retirement. You know, most are planning to stay in the workforce for another 5 years or more. I know a lot of folks that are working well beyond 70, and I talk to a lot of retirees that have no plan to ever retire, partly because they want to in some cases, and in some cases because they can't afford to. So if you want to work, that's great. I mean, I plan to be like George Burns, Betty White, and Queen Elizabeth, and as long as I'm physically, mentally, and emotionally able to work, I plan to keep going. I've already retired from one company and enjoying what I do, so I have no plans to retire anytime soon. Besides, my wife won't let me. She's younger than I am and said I can't retire till she does, so either she retires early or I keep working. But anyway, it's much better to work because you want to and not because you have to. So if you really don't want to be like me and you want to retire and enjoy yourself and relax all day, play a lot of golf, you should basically get with your financial planner, or if you don't have one, you know, by all means, you know, give us a call and let us help you develop a plan that will see you through retirement so you do not have to work or become a Walmart greeter. As we mentioned before, Americans are already working longer to save for retirement than they once were. And a Gallup poll from last year found that the age that individuals expected to retire has risen from 60 in 1995 to 66 in 2022. And I think part of that is probably because of the Social Security age increasing.
Yeah, that just sort of like, you know, puts people's expectations in a certain place. And then, you know, and life expectancy has also, you know, gotten longer in that time period as well. So a lot of different factors at play here. And then, you know, according to that study from Retirement Living, some respondents said they plan to better their retirement. The most common thing that they said, this was 47% planning to better their retirement by decreasing their spending. Also 30% increasing savings. And then 26% saying invest in safe assets, about the same amount saying continuing to work full time. Around that same number, diversifying investments. A little bit less said we're going to build up an emergency fund. And then 20% said applying to part-time jobs. And there, that goes back to kind of, you know, what you were saying about only working if you want to, not because you need to and you have to in retirement. You know, if you want to go out and get a part-time job, that's great. Like, if your dream thing to do in retirement is is go be a Walmart greeter because you love people and you like saying hey to everybody in town who comes in. This great, that's wonderful because somebody's got to do it. But if you are doing that because you feel like your situation has forced you into it, boy, that's not a good place to be.
No, it's not. When I used to think of retirement, I would think of my grandmother's. You know, they were. I had one grandmother. She was a farm lady, and she lived to be 100. But you know, she worked hard all the time. She, you know, sit on her front porch overlooking the creek, and they just basically, by the time you get, you know, 60 or so, they look kind of haggard because they worked all their life really hard out in the field, and they just, I mean, retirement for them was being able to sit on the front porch and watch people pass by and wave. They lived out in the country. But times have changed. I mean, people dress differently. People dress, you know, more youthfully. People are exercising more. People are out and about more. So the thought of retirement has definitely changed. If people fight their age a lot of times. You know, it's kind of like they want to look younger. They want to feel younger. Nothing wrong with that at all. But as we get older, sometimes our bodies can't cash the checks that our minds tell us that we need to be doing. So a little bit different. But, you know, moving on here, a different report says that financial jargon has 34% of Americans doubting retirement plans. So this is coming from a survey from unbiased.com. So what they said was that, you know, financial jargon is so confusing that 34% of Americans say that they don't know where to start when it comes to retirement planning. In fact, to sort of paraphrase what's going on, in fact, the analysis found that the majority of adults say that they have no confidence when it comes to dealing with retirement planning options. So here's some more of what the survey found. Said that 25% of respondents to the Unbiased Retirement Confidence Survey who said they didn't feel confident about choosing retirement options, said their confidence was the result of working with a financial advisor or financial professional. Other retirement-related areas where respondents felt shaky was with the two largest, most unpredictable expenses in retirement, one of those being healthcare and the other being inflation. Now, healthcare was cited as a primary concern by more than half of the respondents, 56% to be exact, who have a good reason to worry. Healthcare is definitely increasing in each and every year. We don't expect it to go down anytime soon. And so you can expect your healthcare costs to go up once you retire. You know, for instance, the one widely circulated Fidelity study found that an average retired 65-year-old couple in 2023 may need approximately, get this number, $315,000 saved to cover medical costs during retirement. So you got to find a way to make sure that you've got money set aside or have access to money that will help cover those healthcare costs.
Yeah. And that's just for the healthcare cost, just that $315,000, according to that Fidelity study. It's survey also mentioning that in addition to healthcare, you know, maybe we should share about inflation as well here. Because inflation, you know, is one of those things that are, as you said a minute ago, unpredictable. Like, you know, a few years back, who would have thought that we would have seen inflation as high as it's been over these last couple of years? So let's go through here and share a little bit about that other uncertainty and about inflation, because, you know, it just makes it difficult, I think, for the average person to sit and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is my plan. But they're like, you know, this inflation situation has gotten them thinking, okay, what about all the what ifs, you know, cause there are a lot of them and they've been proven that they can happen.
Yeah. You know, I think we mentioned this before in another show. If you consider high blood pressure to be the silent killer for health or for people, then when it comes to retirement planning, inflation is the silent killer for a retirement plan. You know, for example, as of May 2023 of this year, the food cost at home has increased by 5.8%, just under 6%. Electricity has increased almost 6%. New cars, a new price of a new car has increased almost 5%. and transportation services are up 10.2%. And then that big one, housing, has increased at 8% level. And just to show that point, since we're, you know, in the local area here, I live up in the Champions Club, and I was looking at a letter that came around for some realtors and stuff the other day, and a house that was bought in 2020 for $600,000 here is now valued at over $1 million. So just in 3 years, you know, that housing cost had definitely gone up here in the Tampa area. So, you know, if you want to create a plan that'll help keep pace with inflation while keeping your money safe from market volatility, then you got to have a plan, and you need a professional to help you with that plan. Whether it's us or somebody else, you know, you need help in creating that plan. It's a roadmap for you. It's a retirement roadmap. So at Castle Financial Solutions Group, you know, we'll work with anyone who wants and needs our help. You don't have to be rich in order to come work with us or become one of our clients. If you need help, then we're here for you. You just have to be nice. That's our key thing. If you're hard to get along with and you're going to be a problem client, then please go someplace else, because we want our clients to be nice. We're nice to you. Won't you be nice to us? And we will bend over backwards to make sure that you get what you need from us. So, you know, just some of the things that we do. We provide our services at no cost to you. In other words, you never pay us a penny. We are a no-cost, no-fee-based, but we're not a fee-based advisor. There's never an obligation when you work with us. So you only work with us if it's best for you. You know, we can help you do a number of things. You know, one thing that we'll help you do is develop a safe money retirement plan that's safe from market loss, and it's inflation adjusted. You know, we can actually use strategies that will help you keep pace with inflation. In some cases, or most cases, outpace inflation. If you have an old 401k, for example, from a previous employer, we can help you with a Roth conversion if you choose to do something like that for tax purposes, or we can help you roll it into a safe vehicle that provides market-like gains and guarantees no loss due to market volatility. And then this is a biggie, too. Most people don't consider this to be a biggie, but we can also help you with Social Security planning and strategies, because there are strategies that will help maximize your Social Security. And other than your home, and in some cases more than your home, the greatest asset you have currently is Social Security. It can generate hundreds of thousands of dollars for you over your life. Now, we can also help you compare your current situation, what you currently have, with what's possible to help you achieve the vision that you have in your mind of what retirement should look like for you if you work with us. So just remember, it's your money. So if it matters to you, trust me, it matters to us. So give us a call at 813-430-7100 or shoot me an email at greg@safemoneymasters.com.
Well, Greg, you know, there, if of course, as we've been talking about today, summer is now officially here. You know, it's sort of unofficially started back around our last big holiday that we had on Memorial Day. In between then and now, it has officially started. And so it's time to enjoy those summer vacations, you know, relax, unwind, have some fun in the sun. But would it surprise you to know that most people spend more time planning their vacation than planning for retirement? I mean, that's, to me, it should be more surprising than it is. And it's sad on many levels that people just spend more time planning, let's say, for a week of their lives rather than for, say, you know, 30 plus years of their lives. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. You know, vacations are exciting. And so people, you know, they love to plan for vacations. Even at the spur of the moment vacations, they'll spend some time making reservations or doing other stuff. But when it comes to retirement planning, you know, that's something that people see that's going to be way out in the future. They don't need to do it. I can't begin to tell you how many people that I work with that have never planned a thing for retirement, and they're retired now or pretty soon planning to retire. So retirement planning is one of those things that creeps up on you. Don't wait till the last minute to do it. According to a recent survey, you know, nearly one in five people, that's a little over 20%, or it's actually 20.1%, to be honest with you, of American adults spend more time planning their vacations than managing their money. Another 34% said that they spend an equal amount of time on both tasks. Now, planning for retirement in general can look a lot like planning a vacation. Trust me, it does. You'll need an itinerary, a destination, and a budget.
Yeah, it's almost like your financial GPS that you need, you know, to know where you're going and know where you are, know the route to get there and all of that. So the itinerary that you should have, and those three steps, let's go through those things. Itinerary being the first, because it's the itinerary, destination, and budget. Those are the three things you mentioned. Explain to the listeners exactly what that means to have an itinerary.
Okay. An itinerary for retirement is actually planning what to do. So just like a summer vacation, you got to figure out, you know, what it is you want to do in retirement. It's important to have a plan to transition from your working years into your retirement. But this means having a list of vacation destinations you want to go to for travel once you retire, or a hobby to turn to stay busy, or an organization to volunteer with. That giving yourself some options can help you remain active and engaged instead of simply doing nothing. So now some of those things, the reason that itinerary is important for retirement planning is that some of those things might earn you some money if you make money on your hobby. Or you volunteer, won't make you anything, won't lose you anything. However, if you plan to travel extensively in retirement, you got to plan some money to do that. You got to make sure you have money in your retirement plan to make sure that you can do the things you want to do. You play golf. That's not cheap anymore. I do it. Trust me, it can cost you, especially if you play like I do and you lose a lot of balls. I mean, those balls they're $4 a ball if you buy a good one. So you can easily go through, you know, $4 of balls in the game, especially if there's a lot of water around. So anyway, make sure that you're planning your itinerary for what you want to do when you retire. What does retirement look for you? Make sure you got money to do the things you want to do.
Yeah, great advice there. And then you also mentioned, you know, the second step here was a destination. So what do you mean by that destination? Because I know even for planning a vacation, right? The destination might be the Bora Bora or something like that. So if we're looking at, you can't pick this destination, I wouldn't think, off of a map, right? It's kind of a different bit of a concept here.
It's a little different concept. It's the similarity between vacation planning and retirement planning is basically, when we talk about destination, we're referring to where to go. There was many retirees are going to spend a lot of time traveling, now that they no longer need to worry about coming back to a pile of work or rationing a limited number of vacation days or sick days or PTO days. You know, as you spend time traveling during your working years, you know, take note of some of the destinations you'd like to return to. More than just longer vacations, retirement may also mean traveling to a new home, whether downsizing, moving closer to a family, or even heading to a senior living community. So for example, here in Florida, we don't have a state income tax. And in some cases, Florida is very favorable to retirees. However, we do have very high property taxes in some of the larger cities like Tampa, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Jacksonville. So when people retire, even if their home is paid for, they still got to pay for those taxes. So a lot of folks would choose to sell their home, move to a different location, perhaps back to where family is, back to somewhere where it's lower cost. It still has some tax advantages, like Tennessee, for example, which is originally home for me. Their sales tax is higher, but they have no state income tax, and their property taxes are much, much lower than they are here. For the same home that I have here, for the same price home, where I pay five figures for property taxes, my property taxes in Tennessee were less than $4,000 for a year. So sometimes moving is going to be your destination. So where to go, you need a plan for that. If you're going to move to a higher cost destination like New York or some of the northeastern states or California, for example, you need to incorporate the increased cost in your budget. So where you go is a big part. For example, if you take a vacation and you decide to go to, you know, from Tampa to Key West, for example, we just went for our anniversary a few weeks ago. The cost for that is going to be much less than taking a vacation from here to England or Ireland, for example. So the places you want to go, just want to make sure that you've got money set aside for what you want to do when you retire, and how to put those things on the map that you want to do.
Yeah. And if you can go somewhere locally, or at least regionally, like you said, and drive there, generally a lot cheaper than going somewhere you have to fly. And last time I checked, it may be different now, but last time I checked, they had still not built that big long bridge over to Ireland or to England. So keep waiting for that.
I got a joke about that, but I better not say it on air.
So. Yeah, let's not. We don't want to get in trouble. The good folks at Money Talk 1010 might not appreciate it.
Exactly.
So then the third step here is creating a budget. And boy, that's an important step. It's also one I feel like people tend to kind of get overwhelmed by a little bit, because they're like, you know, it's almost like budget is a little bit of a four-letter word that has more than four letters in it, you know?
Yeah, and we're talking about budget. We're basically taking a look at the previous two steps and deciding, okay, how are we going to pay for what we want to do? That's the element in retirement planning, just as it is in planning a vacation. How are you going to pay for it? So, you know, how do you afford your current lifestyle? And what expenses do you expect to lose in retirement, if any? And which ones might you gain? You know, for example, you might be currently paying on your mortgage, but it might be paid off in a couple of years after retirement. So whenever that bill is paid, your income is going to actually increase. Or your disposable income will actually increase. So just like planning a vacation, you know, planning how you're going to fund your retirement can be a complicated process with many moving parts. This planning can begin by evaluating how much your retirement lifestyle is going to cost you, then figuring out how much income you're going to need to afford it. And sometimes you'd be surprised, you're going to need a lot more than you think you're going to need. By looking at your retirement savings, pension, Social Security, any other savings that you need to figure out the most tax-efficient way to fund your retirement. Retirement planning can take time, effort, but just as you wouldn't embark on a vacation of a lifetime without doing a bit of preliminary research, you also don't want to leap into retirement without some sort of a plan. And that's where, you know, we are here to help you. If you need it, if you need a plan, let us help you develop a safe money retirement plan. By all means, give us a call at Castle Financial Solutions Group at 430-7100, or give me an email personally at greg@safemoneymasters.com.
It's This Week in History.
Some big events on this date, of course, because it is July 4th. So we kind of know the first one, I think, Greg, here. Talk about what happened on this date back in 1776.
In This Week in History, on this day in history, as we recognize the day we've talked about throughout the show, the Declaration of Independence was formally adopted, and the Continental Congress had voted for the independence 2 days before, on July 2nd. A couple days from now, on July 7th, on this date in 1930, the construction of the Hoover Dam began, and the concrete arch gravity dam sits above the Colorado River. It took nearly 30 years to complete. But if you've ever been over that dam is a very, very impressive. If you look over top of it, it's also very, very scary because it's a long way down. The Colorado River has taken, you know, a big hit because of the drought conditions out that way for a while now. Hopefully some of the rains and stuff they had, even though they were pretty devastating rains, some of those rains, you know, provided some additional water for Colorado River, but it's still well below normal. But Hoover Dam, you know, works hard to try and regulate the water within the Colorado River. Another thing on the July 7th is that on this date in 1981, American retired attorney Sandra Day O'Connor became the first woman to serve on the Supreme Court. I remember when she was actually confirmed, and it was a pretty impressive day, and women all over the country celebrated. And you know, she was quite a proficient, active, and fair judge on the Supreme Court bench. On July 9th, this is a birthday. In 1956, actor and American actor and filmmaker Tom Hanks was born. And remember a lot of his movies, you know, Forrest Gump, Saving Private Ryan, Castaway, many, many more movies that he had. What was the one where he played where he was jumping on the makeshift piano?
That's actually the one that I was going to mention next. That was Big. When he was doing that. And that was filmed at FAO Schwartz up in New York City. And I remember going into that very store after I moved up there looking for the keyboard. And they still had one, you know, because they knew people would come in for that to dance on the big keyboard.
You know, he was such an impressive actor and such a range of ability. In other words, going from a comedic actor and being a comedian actually early on in his life to becoming so serious in dramatic roles, you know, like Castaway. He lost a lot of weight for Castaway. Yeah. Saving Private Ryan, where he played a military guy.
Yeah.
Played it very, very well. And then Forrest Gump, of course, that's probably one of the one remember most because so many memes out there of him, you know, making a run, saying things, or just a box of chocolates.
That's right. That's what life is like.
Box of chocolates. All right. So, you know, there's a special day today besides, I mean, of course, we know that today is Independence Day, but there are a couple of other interesting days of this, or national days of. This is the National Independence from Meat Day, which is followed by, on the same day, National Barbecue Spare Ribs Day.
It's pretty much impossible to celebrate both of those on the same day.
I know. And then finally, today is National Caesar Salad Day. So if you really want to combine two national days and be, you know, celebrate them in fashion, you can go out on an Independence Day, forget about Independence for Meat Day, and have some barbecue spare ribs and Caesar salad.
There you go. So, well, my dinner and menu is figured out.
I'm still going to go for the salmon, I think, but still.
There you go. Well, I'll put it on top of your Caesar salad. I think that'll be a pretty good deal.
Yeah. So you got plans for the rest of 4th of July today, Matt?
Pretty quiet. We're going to try and watch some fireworks, but I think that's going to be about it for us. Whatever it is that you do, I hope that you have fun and celebrate the country.
I'll be holding on to a small dog that gets shell-shocked by fireworks, so he'll be in my lap the rest of the night.
Been there.
Yeah. So anyway, Matt enjoyed it again. You're always great company, great co-host. So I guess I'll see you next week at same bat time.
Same bat channel.
All right. Have a good 4th of July, Matt. Listeners, take care, be safe, and watch out for those fireworks. They can be dangerous.
Thanks for listening to Safe Money Masters with Greg Castle. You deserve to work with a financial expert who has a track record of helping clients exceed their financial goals by implementing safe and proven strategies. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation with Greg, visit safemoneymasters.com. Not affiliated with the United States government, Greg Castle does not offer tax, legal, or investment advice. Consult with your tax advisor or attorney regarding specific situations. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice. These opinions are not intended as investment advice, nor do they predict future performance of any product. All information provided is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation or warranty as to the accuracy of any statement. This information is intended to be educational in nature and does not provide a guarantee or specific result. All copyrights and trademarks are the property of their respective owners. AmeriLife assumes no responsibility or liability for the content of this message. The information contained herein is provided on an as-is basis with no guarantees of completeness, accuracy, usefulness, timeliness, or the results obtained from the use of this information.
Are banking fees sucking extra money from your wallet? I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. Loan interest and bank fees can drain money out of your retirement bucket, so it's important to be aware of and budget for these fees. Personal finance website NerdWallet reports banking fees alone can cost many consumers $300,000 over their lifetime. One of the fees that catches consumers off guard the most is the account maintenance fee.
On a lot of checking accounts, you'll pay it every month unless you maintain a minimum balance. Kimberly Palmer with NerdWallet recently told NBC LA there's also another solution.
The most powerful move that consumers can make is just to find a new bank.
Overdraft fees can also be hefty. Many banks charge $35 or more per transaction. Palmer says these can really add up, especially if you end up paying the fee on several small transactions. So what can you do?
You might prefer to have your transaction declined than get surprised with that overdraft fee.
ATM fees and charges to receive paper statements are others to watch out for. To avoid them, use only your bank's ATMs and elect to have digital statements emailed to you each month. 401k and IRA fees are sometimes the trickiest.
So you have to scroll all the way down. It's in fine print. And so people just don't realize what these fees are and how they add up.
So do you really know what you're paying in bank fees? It's a key question to consider, and it's one of the 23 retirement cost cutters for 2023. With the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Matt McClure.